And thank you so much. What a joy. There will be a day when all will bow before him. That's good news. Amen. There will be a day when all the sadness, sickness, and sorrow be gone. And we will certainly be joyous over that. But I'm just going to be joyous on this side in the preparation. Amen. We are trying. I know it's the middle of, I've had several folks have flu A, flu B, COVID, walking epizootus, and everything else right now. There's all kinds of stuff going around, and I appreciate you coming to the house of God. And when you're well, if you're well, you be here. If you're not well, we're going to pray that you get well. We have a lot of folks, I bet, maybe watching by internet today that deeply desire your prayers, that are home today because of things that they cannot control and sickness beyond their control. But I appreciate you being faithful. I always say what we went through. Can y'all believe it's been almost 5 years now since we went through the beginning stages of the COVID pandemic? Here's a kicker. It's been 25 since Y2K. Can y'all believe that? I remember every computer was going to crash. Everything was going to go nuts. I remember waking up on New Year's Eve 1999. And I got up early and I turned on the TV and it wasn't daylight yet. And they were showing the new year coming in to play in Auckland, New Zealand. That was the first place. And they saw a guy go, he went up to an ATM and took money out to see if it worked. It worked, so I just went back to sleep. So it was 25 years since Y2K. Most of our kids they were born after that, right? What a time. Judges chapter 2 is where we're going to read in just a minute. And by God's help today, in the beginning of a new year, I want to introduce the book of Judges as our theme as we begin to start this new year. We finished Joshua, and we did some holiday things in the interim, but now we're getting back to a regular series. I do so for many reasons. One, I believe it's where God has led us. Two, I believe it's very timely for us as God's people in the time that we live in. I believe there's some great lessons to learn continuing about how God is still sovereign when things look chaotic. And I believe God has a great word for us. I'm going to share with you in just a little bit a new theme for 25-24. Our theme was live like you die. We took 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6-8 was our theme. You know, we had the banners and the bookmarks and the refrigerator marks, and the new ones for this year are coming in maybe tomorrow, so we'll have them, and I'll talk more about that in just a little bit, okay? Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. If you're physically able, would you stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word? Judges chapter 2, verse 7 through 12. You wonder why we're not starting at the beginning, and I'll explain. It's a lot of recounting of what you learned at the end of Joshua. And it's not that it's not important, but I want to kind of get to the meat of the introduction today of what we'll be doing. Judges chapter 2, verse 7. Here's what the Word of God says. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done in Israel. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the works which he had done in Israel. The children of the Lord did evil in the sight of the Lord. They served Baals and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. May the words spoken here today help someone have a defining moment in their Christian life. May it help someone who is not a follower of you yet, not one of your children. May it be the day that they see their great need of salvation and surrender heart and soul to you through repentance. And God, may you begin even a new work in our hearts today as your children. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. To introduce the book of Judges, there are several things I want to bring to your attention. But before I do, I want to share some things that I think will help lay a groundwork for us as we begin the study of a new book. The book of Judges is described by many theologians and those who commentate on the Word of God as the Dark Ages of Israel. They had recently received their promised inheritance. They had conquered Canaan. They had received a promise that had been given to Abraham hundreds of years prior, and through the leadership of Moses and ultimately Joshua, they received the fulfillment of the promise. The generations that followed Joshua and those that followed after his death at the young age of 110, they continued to serve the Lord. They continued to carry out the things that they had learned under Joshua's leadership. And as Joshua followed the Lord, they followed the Lord through him as well. But problems were still on the horizon. J.I. Packer, the preacher from many, many years ago, said these words. He said, "Why would Christians study a book like Judges, a book that would easily be rated R if its content was produced on the modern movie screen? Death and slaughter, human sacrifice and betrayal, illicit sex and scandal saturate the pages of this book. Ehud murders Eglon, leaves him to rot in his own stuff. Jephthah sacrifices his only daughter as a burnt offering because of a vow he's made to the Lord. Samson spends a night with a prostitute. A Levite cuts up his concubine who has been brutally raped and killed and sends her dismembered body throughout Israel to incite war. In the book of Judges, we observe clearly that life is messy. Life is not just messy, but it is foul and complicated, and that is the cycle of our own sin that creates these problems. Life is messy. Our deacons hear me tell them often, guys, remember that ministry is messy. Everybody isn't cleaned up when they come to Jesus. We get them to Jesus because he's the cleaner. We're just the ones who deliver the message. Amen? I believe that is certainly true. When you read these type books, you say, well, I've read some folks who suggest that the vivid nature of the events of the book of Judges should just be toned down a little bit. Or maybe they should be eliminated from the text. But I want you to hear me. God's word never shies away from revealing to us the evil that is present in our world and the effects that evil has on our world. God's word is clear. The scriptures are totally inspired. I have no right to remove something because of the vivid nature of the wording. I have no right to try to tone down what God has said because it is his word to man, not man's word about him. Always remember that. God's word to man. It is what he says that matters, not what we think. The Bible says in John 5:39, a scripture that helps us understand why this scripture is the way it is. He says, Jesus speaking, says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they." What is they? The Old Testament scriptures. "They are what testify of me." So we don't tone it down. We don't change it. Every event in the book of Judges and in the Old Testament is written to testify of the person and work of Jesus Christ and the great salvation that he has achieved for his people. You say, "I only see Jesus in the New Testament." Well, keep reading. Jesus is all over the Old Testament. It is those Old Testament scriptures that testify of the Messiah who would come, who would bear the sins of the world, who would die on a rugged cross and purchase eternal salvation for folks like you and me. Another said it this way. He said, "The most shocking feature in the book of Judges, therefore, is not the horror of the people's sins depicted in the narratives, But the glory of salvation from that sin, accomplished by the God of patience, mercy, compassion, steadfast love, and faithfulness. He said the terror of sin in the book of Judges is outshone only by the glory of God's salvation that works through these judges who point us to Jesus Christ. Well, with that in mind, let me talk a little bit historically for you and give you a couple of things before we make some observations from the text. You're probably wondering, when was this book written? And it'll be on the screen. The dating for this book was between 1360 and 1064 B.C. That was a little bit before Jimmy Bragg was born. But anyhow, it was a long time ago. Him and Clara, they probably knew some of these judges. But anyhow, but it's the time period between the death of Joshua and Samuel's establishment of the monarchy in Israel. So that's the time period, 1360 to 1064 B.C. But with that in mind, we also have to ask, what was the spiritual condition of Israel during that time? And I'm going to talk to you about that if you want to make a note of this. I told you it was the Dark Ages, dark days in the life of Israel. And the reason the days were dark were because the days were characterized by sin, idolatry, foreign oppression, and national corruption. They had problems from the enemy outside and even the enemy on the inside. They were dealing with sin and idolatry, which was a recipe for the judgment of God to come upon his people. Here's what's amazing to me. I'm not just here to regurgitate to you truth or a history lesson from the book of Judges. I'm here to make practical application of how the book of Judges in 1360 B.C. to 1064, how does that affect Heflin Baptist Church in 2025? That's what I'm looking to do today because I believe that's important. The national condition of Israel in the days of the Judges sounds much like what we're experiencing in America. Everything we're experiencing today is related to a nation that has simply walked away from God. Now, I want you to hear me. That is not a political problem. That is not an economic problem. That is not a policy problem. That is a spiritual problem. Ladies and gentlemen, lasting change can only come when God's people fall on our face in repentance for our sin and exalt Jesus Christ as the King of glory. Lasting change does not come any other way. I know, I hear this on the news sometimes. It's not a political thing either. I just want to speak as a preacher who's crying out to God's people to hear from God's word. I hear people say, well, just wait till January 20th, everything will get better. Do you believe that? I know you're thinking, well, this might get better or that might get better, but hear me. January 20th is not the answer to change in America, regardless of who you voted for. Now we vote our conviction because we want what's best for our country, and I hope you do that, and I trust that you did, and all that. That's none of my business. But regardless of who the ex-president is, the current president is, or the next president is, the answer to this country being cured from the sinfulness of sin in America, ladies and gentlemen, it's not at the White House, it's at the church house, and it's in our house. That's the answer. Regardless of who's going to be present or who's not going to be, we as God's people cannot base our hope on political parties and political figures. We must base our hope on nothing else than Jesus Christ. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I only trust in Jesus' name. Amen? Oh, hear me today. Too many people in America are looking for lasting change through temporary passing people and passion. See, the key to understand the book of Judges is this. I didn't put this on the screen, but there are two key verses that'll help you understand. Chapter 17, verse 6, and chapter 21, verse 25 say the same thing at two different times in the book. But here's what those verses say. In those days, the days of the judges, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Wow. No king. Nobody leading. There was no Joshua. There was no Moses. The generations that had lived with Joshua had been faithful. Those after that had walked away from God. They didn't know God. So now nobody was leading a spiritual charge. So everybody was just doing whatever made them feel good. Wow. You know what these verses remind us of? They remind us of what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8, as he spoke to the nation of Israel then. Here's what he said. He says, "You shall not do as you're doing here today. Every man doing what is right in his own eyes." You know what I believe? God allowed Moses to see a time and give him a foreshadow in his day of people getting wild and loose and doing things their way. And you know what? He says, you're not going to continue like this. There was a man of God, but in the days of the judges, there is not. See, Moses charged the people to change the affections of their heart so that they would focus their eyes back on the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my heartbeat for 2025. I bet there's some of you there today would say, "I'm more in love with Jesus than ever been." And if that's your testimony, glory to God. But can I tell you, it's not the testimony of the masses. Because I want to tell you, there are a lot of people today that are not as in love with Jesus as they used to be. There's some people who have never met Jesus. So that brings me to our theme for 2025. For 2025, you'll see some banners next week, and you'll have some Bible marks, and you'll have some fridge magnets and all that kind of stuff. And the theme for 2025 is simply bring back the glory. See, the people of Joshua's day, many of those that had died after him, they'd seen what it had been like to live in bondage. They'd seen the glory of God revealed through the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise. But now there's a generation that's come after them that has lost what it means to live with the glory of God in the house. See, much of what we will study in the book of Judges is the story of what God has done, is doing, and I pray he continues to do in our local church. This church was founded in 1882. And for many, many decades, many years, this church served as a beacon of hope to this community. Almost a decade ago, this church was in a time of transition. A time of transition. For a 47-year period, had only had three pastors. That was awesome. But for 2.5 years, this church had gone through a time of transition without a pastor. But I want to tell you what I'm respectful for. I'm respectful for a remnant of people that believed God would bring the glory back. Y'all hear me, church? I'm respectful for a remnant of men and women who just believe that God had the ability to breathe new life in this church. That didn't come with just getting the right singer or the right preacher. Even though those things are very important, it came with people getting humble and honest before God, the preacher and every person involved. I want you to know there was just a remnant of people who believed that God would breathe new life in an old church. They believed that the glory of God would return and that HBC would once again be set ablaze with the power of God. I believe that and I thank God for them. Many others have been added to this family as a result of one simple reason. There was a remnant that believed God for you before you knew it. Amen. There were people praying for you and praying for God to once again revive this 1882 church and say, "Hey, we believe God." And many of you have come and joined as a part of that, and you are a product of the prayers of that remnant of people who just said, "God, if you don't show up, we're done." Mark Clifton, who writes a lot about church revitalization, he said this. He said, "The local church is a unique institution in which God's glory is on display to the community. More than 50 times in Scripture, God makes it abundantly clear that everything, including his own church, was created for his glory." Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and it may glorify your Father who is in heaven." Many ways, I want you to know that Heflin Baptist Church is much like a replanted church. We're in the same location, but we got a new vision. We got a new dream in our heart. We believe that God's going to bring the glory back. Our methods of ministry have changed. Oh, they have. And some of you say, well, I'm grateful for the change. Some of you say, well, I don't like the change. Or the change scares me. Hear me. Change scares a pastor more than it scares anybody. Don't think for a minute that we're not scared by it too. But we realize that if we don't change, we will die. But I want you to know something that never changes, and that's our message. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It will never change. I want you to know I don't look down upon any person who's ever preceded me on this platform. I respect them. I thank God for them. I thank God and I applaud them for their service. I really do. I'm not one of those guys that comes and says, well, hey, I'm here to fix everything because I don't have all the answers. Sir Isaac Newton once said, if it seems I can see farther than most people, it's because I stand upon the shoulders of giants who went before me. And that's not just people who stood in this pulpit, but people who invested and helped shape my life for the gospel ministry. So I want to look at the text for the next few minutes, and I want to make a few quick observations, and I want to really challenge your heart for 2025, because I believe our study of this book has the ability to do that. In order for the glory of God to come back, if you will, or the glory of God to rest upon his people, I believe three things have got to happen. One, there's got to be an appreciation of past blessing. See, the generation that arose in leadership after Joshua and those in his time died, the scripture says two things about them. They did not know the Lord nor the work he had done. There's two problems. Here's what kept them from seeing the glory. And here's what we need to guard against so we don't miss the glory. Number one, they had no relationship with God. The scripture clearly says they did not know the Lord. Simply, they had begun to drift from God and dabble in things that were sinful. It did not just happen quickly, but what happened is the generations after Moses' death, they began to neglect some things. They began to make things unimportant with their children and grandchildren. And the next thing you know, by the time they get into leadership, what they have been seen neglected by their parents and grandparents, they will now reject it. That's why when people say, going to church isn't that important. I mean, you don't have to go to church to be right with God. I'd say you do. If you're physically able. I would say if you neglect the assembling of yourselves together with other believers just because you think you're either too spiritual or somebody will hurt your feelings or there's a hypocrite down there you don't like. You ever heard of that? Y'all have never heard of that. I'd come to your church, Brother Brent, but I know some people go down there and they hypocritical. But not me, buddy. I might be a heathen pagan, but I'll tell you right now, I ain't a hypocrite. Well, that is nothing to be excited about. Hear me. If you love Jesus Christ, you're not going to let anybody stand between you and you fulfilling his purpose for your life. You're not going to walk away from what he went to the cross and died for, which was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to get plugged in, planted in, and you're going to make a difference for the God. You're going to make sure you know God and you make him known. Amen? Well, they began to do their own things. They didn't consult with the Lord. Don't neglect serving God and worshiping God and making him preeminent in your life, Daddy, Mama. Because if you neglect it, the next generation will reject it. They had no relationship with God. Here's the second problem. They had no respect for the Lord. Here's what the scripture said. They had not seen what he had done. They had not witnessed the work that he had done through Joshua to bring them into the land of promise. They had not seen the battles that took place. They had not witnessed the bloodshed. They had not witnessed the sorrow. So therefore, it didn't mean as much to them. That's why it blesses me when I talk about this remnant of people that believed God would bring the glory back. Oh, it means a lot to them to see you here. It means a lot to them to see God moving in this fellowship and moving in ways to use us and mobilize us for missions and ministry. You know why it means so much to them? Because they had those sleepless nights. They had those nights in their prayer altar. They had meeting after meeting and setback after setback. It means something to them. What happened to this bunch was, in those days of the judges, is they had only experienced the blessings of their inheritance without the battles that were in the path to their inheritance. You've got to have an appreciation of what's behind you. Second thing is, there's got to be activation in the present. Do you see that in verses 11 and 12? Notice what happened to them. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. In the present for Israel, they were doing five things. I want you to walk through these verses with me. Keep your Bible open. Five things that provoked the Lord to evil. Number one, you read it right there. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. Two, they served Baals. That meant they served false gods, fake gods, pagan gods, not the one true God. Three, they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers. You see what they're doing? Doing evil, serving Baals, forsaking. Number four said they followed other gods. They were following after things. You say, I don't have any other gods. I'd beg to differ. Many people have a lot of idols and gods in their life that they don't want to admit that that's what they are. But anything that pulls you away from a relationship with the one true God becomes a false god and an idol in your life. Number five, it says they bowed down to other gods. Look at the progression. First of all, they're serving, forsaking, following, and now bowing. Let's just think about that for a minute. The first two, doing evil in the sight of the Lord and serving Baals, that is a result of their faulty works. Their works were not works of righteousness, but of unrighteousness. The third and fourth one, forsaking the Lord and following other gods, speaks of their faithless witness. They didn't just have faulty works. They had no witness. They had no witness of faithfulness to God. And the last one, they bowed down to the other gods, tells us they had fruitless worship. Do you ever wonder sometimes, do you ever do this? I mean, I know I'm strange and all that kind of stuff, but do you ever just get home sometimes and say, God, what did my worship sound like to you today? God, what did the worship of Heflin Baptist Church, how did it sound in your ear? Oh, did it move your heart? Or were we just going through the motions and just hoping we got out before the Presbyterians beat us to the roadhouse? No, hear me. We don't need to have faulty works, faithless witness, and a fruitless worship. And when we follow the pathway of the children of Israel after the death of them, we have no appreciation for the past, and we have no activation in the present. For Israel, here's what happened. The joy and jubilation of them claiming their inheritance had been replaced by activity that brought anger and anguish to the heart of God. You ever hear people, God don't get angry? You ever heard of that? Those folks hadn't read very far, have they, David? Right? Glenn? They hadn't read the Bible very far. When your children provoke you, do you say, hey, sweetheart, you're provoking Daddy today? That's not a nice thing to do to Daddy. Go over there and write five Bible verses in your notebook, and we'll just call it even. No, when they provoke you, you say, hey, come here. You're ticking me off, sport, right? Y'all like, well, that just kind of warps a child's psyche. They're very tender. Oh, my goodness. I wish my psyche was the only thing I'd have got warped when I was growing up. How about y'all? Amen. My psyche was, well, I told y'all for the first 3 or 4 years I thought my name was Made me think Rob left something for me. Pat found it. He left a little Hot Wheel for me here, so thinking about me, right? Pat says, you reckon that belongs to Rob? I said, I'm sure it does, but I doubt he'll miss it. He has a few. Not because I got him any. Right, Angie? Right. We go for the big ones. Blaze. Y'all watch Blaze? Man, you need to get you fired up. But let's talk about the final thing, okay? Appreciation for the past, activation in the present. But let's talk about anticipation for the future. Things weren't looking good for the children of Israel, was it? Didn't look very promising for them, because what had they done? They didn't know God. They didn't know the works he had done. They were doing all these things that were against God. But let me give you a word of comfort, church. In the midst of all their chaos, God was still sovereignly in control. You're going to find out in the book of Judges that God works even when we mess up. The place they had drifted into was not where God wanted them, but he would not abandon them. I'm going to talk very vulnerable from my heart for a little bit too. Can I just let my hair down and, you know, pull my glasses off where I can't see? One thing I love about y'all, and I appreciate that, I love so many things about y'all, but one of the great things I love about y'all is y'all pretty much let me be me. Amen? I know some of you are like, I wish, man, he's too loud or whatever. I'm just the way God made. I really don't try to be loud. And trust me, I have the Holy Spirit in the skirt that will tap me and say, you're being a little loud. You know? I mean, so just trust me, I'm good. But I want to be very transparent with you here for a little bit, okay? I want to really speak my heart to you on this first Sunday of the year, because I believe this is going to be the real catalyst of us moving forward, is just being open and honest and just who we are. I want to tell you about a story that took place. Glenn's Robbie back here? Is he high? He's over there. Where's Robbie? There's Robbie. Okay, good. Thanks for not hiding, Robbie. You'll appreciate this. You in this story, okay? Y'all know it's going to be fun, right? There was a day, Mark, you're in the story. February of 2016, I had a day, a defining day in my life that I put in my journal as the Mexico Manifesto. You remember Billy Graham had the Modesto Manifesto, where he put together his staff a list of the way they were going to do things for their ministry so there'd be no moral failures and all this kind of stuff. And they live by that Modesto Manifesto. But this is called the Mexico Manifesto, not because we're in Mexico, but because we were in a Mexican restaurant in Cedartown, Georgia. How about that, Jared? You like that? You like Mexican, don't you? You look like you like Mexican. I do too. Maybe we should know. But I sat down with these two guys and really praying about what God wanted for this church. And Robbie, I never forget, Robbie looked at me and, you know, Robbie, he's real careful. He's real careful about what he's thinking. He's not very he's so careful. But he ordered, he got his chips, and he picked up a chip. I'll never forget, right? Robbie looked at me and said, Brent, we dying. Is that not true, Robbie? Am I telling you? Now, yeah, it wasn't saying nothing bad. That was just an honest estimation. He said, we need a leader. The assessment had been already made. Now it was time for action. It wasn't time to continue doing studies or assessments. It was time to get activated and have an anticipation for the future. And we knew this. We knew that a rebirth would involve change. We know that rebirth and change is difficult for everybody involved. Congregation, pastor, alike. However, it is necessary that both occur for lasting change to be accomplished. That there be change, and that there even be times of uncertainty. But God put in my heart to focus on three things, and I remind you of them regularly. That we were going to share God's word, we were going to show God's love, and we were going to send God's people. We were going to share God's word, which is our message. We were going to show God's love, which is our ministry to a hurting world. And we were going to send God's people, which is our mission, to the world. But what I didn't want to be, and I hope I had, almost 9 years now, I never wanted to be that guy who grew up in Heflin, skimped my knees on the streets, that went away and pastored for 2 decades in foreign land of Georgia, got a degree in ministry. I never wanted to be that guy that's like, boy, I know everything, because I'm not that guy. I hope y'all have never, ever felt it. I don't know everything. I've learned a few things. I've learned more by experience than I ever did in a seminary class. But I do want you to know this. I don't have all the answers. I didn't, and I won't. But I do want to be this man. I want to be the man who is known as a man who has a Savior that got up from the dead who refuses to get over it. I do want to be known as the man who loves people unconditionally and there's nothing they can do to stop him. But hear me, and I want you to hear me clearly on this. As we go into 2025, almost 9 years from the date I just shared with you about, as we go into this year, I want you to know this. I loved Heflin Baptist Church right where it was in 2016. I love the remnant of people that believed God that the glory would come back. I love so many of them who've now gone on to be with the Lord over these last 9 years, and there have been quite a few. I love them then, and can I tell you this? I love this church where it is right now in the present. But I want you to know I love the church too much in 2016 to say, hey, let's just stay like we are. I love the church in 2025 to say, hey, let's just stay where we are. We've seen the blessing of God. We see a full congregation, a full balcony. We see all these things. We got humpteen people sick and the church is still full. Preacher, we've arrived. No, we ain't. Well, preacher, we're getting more parking, we're getting more facility, we got more ministry, we got more things going on. Preacher, we had hardly any kids, and now we got 70 going to youth retreat. Come on, preacher, just stop. I can't. Because there's still somebody out there that's lost. There's still some kid out here at the high school that has a broken home and no hope, no direction in life, and needs this group to help them. There are kids on drugs. I know you think, you can't say that, preacher. There are kids on drugs. There are kids drinking alcohol. There are kids doing all sorts of stuff, and they need this group. You know what? There may be kids in our group doing that stuff. You're like, well, I'll tell you what, we need to kick them out. No. We need to love them harder. Because we may be their only hope. I don't know. Because here's the thing about church. It's not a place where perfect people show up. It's a place where broken people show up. It's a place where kids who are broken can come find acceptance in their group. And listen, we're not going to tell you it's okay to do those things. We're going to give you hope, and we're going to give you peace, and we're going to help you find purpose in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? I loved you then. I love you now. But I love you too much to say we've arrived and let's just cruise on into glory. You know one thing I've got? I got a lot of anticipation about tomorrow. Some of you kids from the 70s, you're humming in your heart Fleetwood Mac right now. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop. It'll soon be here. It'll be better than before. Yesterday's gone. Oh, yesterday's gone. It's not a theological song. But you know what, boys? It ain't a bad thing to think about. You know why churches die? They stop living for today and they stop thinking about tomorrow. They don't appreciate the past. They don't get active in the present. And they don't anticipate tomorrow. Because when you do those things, you quit realizing who got you where you are and how he got you there. Rob, you remember those battles, Bobby, Glenn, Mark, I don't leave anybody out. A bunch of you guys. A bunch of you ladies, you saw your husbands go through those battles. You saw them cry. You saw them get disappointed. You know, my poor wife, she felt like she was in a yo-yo or something because, I mean, we were, but I believe. believe what God did is he brought us all to the end of ourselves to where we could experience the beginning of him. Weston, you remember. You remember. Mark Riddle, you remember. Brother Larry. But here's my thing. Let's don't get caught up in just what he's done. Let's get excited about what he's going to do. Hear me, church. 2025 is going to stretch us. Me and Bobby had a phone call conversation today, and he got back Mark. I said, Bobby, it's going to be a challenging year. He said, yeah, it is, boss, but I'm ready. It's going to stretch us. It's going to cause us to have to make personal sacrifice of our time, of our talent, and our treasure. But because we have a relationship with the Lord and we have seen his goodness, we can trust his grace. Amen. Here's the invitation. Church, we can't fight that battle from a pew. We got to fight it from an altar. If you're here today and you don't know this man called Jesus, you don't understand any of this stuff that I'm talking about, hear me. The greatest decision you can make on the first Sunday of a new year is say, hey, I'm going to start a new life with Jesus. Church, the greatest decision we can make is say, hey, we're just going to exalt and enthrone Jesus as Lord of all, and we're going to follow him in everything, and we're not going to worry about anything. We're just going to trust him, and we're going to do everything he says in his word through his Holy Spirit. Because I promise you this year is going to challenge us. But I'm going to live the challenge. 1985, we were having football camp. They brought us some T-shirts, right? It was during the three-a-day week. It was when Cherry Coke was new. And the T-shirts had Cherry Coke on them. And they had these words, live the challenge. You can run from it, or you can live it. Let's live it. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you so much for your word today. Father, as we look into this book that challenges us so, the book of Judges, God, we do so with heart that is broken for people who have never followed you or those who have walked away from you. Oh God, today, would you move on a church that says, oh God, bring back the glory. Remind us of the battles of our forefathers. God, remind us of what you've done just recently. Remind us of what you're doing today. God, help us to get excited about tomorrow. God, change a church. Save lost people is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you would, stand your feet all across the house. Going to sing this song you've known for many years, and this is so true. Where you're going to meet God is just where you are today. And if you wouldn't want to meet him in the condition you're in today, I'd plead with you on the very first word, the very first verse, you come forward. I'll be right here to meet you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. I won't embarrass you. I won't do anything at all. I just want to help you get in touch with heaven. But church, hear me. The challenge is real. We can only fight it from our knees. Marty, lead us when you're ready, and you come as God speaks to you right now. Come. come even now. Yeah, folks are still coming. Do you want to meet the Lord like you are, or do you want to get something right? You come. Plays, heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment, please. In just a moment, we're going to sing another verse, and here, this verse is for you for many reasons. One, if you know you're not right with the Lord, hear me. This is not the preacher trying to get to you. I'm not a showman. I'm not a salesman. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody or all that kind of stuff. I'm just simply presenting an invitation for you to respond to the Spirit of God as He's spoken to your heart and drawn you to Himself. But if you know you're not ready to meet the Lord, I plead with you to come on this next verse. If you're here today and you're a child of God, you know you're on your way to heaven, and you feel God would have you and your family be a part of this local fellowship, we invite you to make that public as well. But most of all, I don't want anybody to leave here not right with God. So Marty, you lead us. Let's lift our heads and let's sing. And as God speaks to your heart, you come even now. Just as I am. Give the Lord praise today, church, for His goodness and grace. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Amen. Charlie's up there clapping, ain't she, Edward? Well, that's not Charlie, is it? That is Charlie. I can't. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's Charlie. All right. Sorry, boy. I have to let some of you older folks tell me what it's like, but it's getting rough. Amen. Hey, it's so good to be here today, and we'll have the opportunity to give. And I tell, like I said, it's going to be a challenging year, but I believe it's going to be a year. I was thinking about those defining moments, Brother Larry, and I was thinking about, I was listening to Adrian Rogers talk about on when God called him to preach. My mind went back to the night that I surrendered to the Lord. It'll be 39 years in March. Brother Jack Marks, remember Brother Jack? Brother Jack Marks came to preach that service at Edwardsville, and I was wrestling. I was like, how in Sam Hill can God use a 15-year-old kid that don't know really anything about the Bible? I mean, just how could God be stirring that in my heart? I'll never forget when he preached that day. He preached from Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I pressed toward the mark, the high calling of God, Christ Jesus. And he began to share. He had no idea God was calling a young man to preach, but he was preaching on the things. I figured everybody else could have went home that day. I was the only one need to be there, I guess. But I'll never forget how God used that text from that preacher in that time to solidify to me through the Holy Spirit what he's called me to do. I want you to know God does that way. He uses His word and the witness of His people and the Spirit to confirm His will for your life. Amen. So even somebody had very little spiritual sensitivity, you know, Adrian talks a lot. I feel better when I hear Adrian say this. He said, you know, I was playing ball and I was kind of a middle-of-the-road student. And I'm thinking, there is hope for me, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, he was probably like valedictorian or something. And he was, him and Junior Hill both wrote in their autobiographies that they were both cut up and got in trouble for cutting up and stuff. I thought, I'm in good company, Terry. So, anyhow, but as you give today, let's give today like it's the last Sunday we're going to be here, because who knows? But give from your heart to the Lord. God's going to do a great work through our church. It's going to take us all. So let's join our hearts together, ask God's blessings on our giving, gentlemen. Great, Terry. That was great. Glad to see you kept up your study schedule that we talked about over the holidays. Okay, just check. Hey, looking forward to this week. Wednesday, we're back on regular schedule. I know all your so excited James fans and broke out the spenders, and he's talking about the S word, right? It's very possible. Now, keep this in mind for next weekend, supposedly Friday. We don't know what's going to happen yet. Who knows? But if there is bad weather and will prevent us from meeting together next Sunday, if the road are bad or whatever like that, well, of course, we'll get all of our information out. But know this, we will still have an online presence, Steve, because I've got a four-wheeler, and I'll come get you. And we'll stay. As long as there's power in this building, we could even do it. No, we can't. We could do it with a cell phone without power, can't we? So if there is no ability to meet corporately next week due to weather, you'll still be able to turn on YouTube, right? YouTube, Facebook, what else? Boxcast, any of that. You can go to the website too. It'll give you all that. So even if there's bad weather, we're still coming to your living room, right? So we learned a lot, you know. The necessity caused us to have to get after it in 2020, and Steve and Tim and all the guys, all you got, Carla and all y'all, and Mark helping up there, mean the world to me. Yeah, I ain't forgot him. Don't worry, honey. Okay. So don't get, but anyhow, that's, so keep that in mind this week going forward. Okay, go ahead, brother.
If we do cancel the parent meeting, it will be Wednesday night.
Yeah, if we see bad weather's coming, you may move, it'll be the following Wednesday night. Right. The following week, right? Not this Wednesday, right? Okay, we'll make sure. So if there's bad weather, youth parents, and you can't come fill out your 47 pages of release for your kid, then that meeting will be Wednesday following Sunday instead of Sunday. But everybody will be informed. Chris does a great job with group chat. Don't y'all love group chat? Mine only goes off 78 times a day, and it's great, though. It's great. At least information's great. So we will keep you informed in the event of that. But let's just plan on that. But I would like to cut a few donuts in the snow. That's fun, isn't it? But I need to quit that. I'm going to get hurt, and I won't heal as fast. But church, know this. I'm grateful for the start of a new year. I love you right where you at. Remember that. But we love each other and God too much to stay. We're moving forward, okay? The horizon, we don't know what's out there. But I'm not trusting anybody other than Jesus to chart our course. Amen? Amen. So I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Let's stand together.